I want to ask you a question. Have you ever just woken up and you know, life was just good. Life was great. Your marriage was fantastic. Things were going well. Money was in the bank. The kids were doing well in school. Things were just perfect at your job. And you just woke up one day and you're like, you know what? I think today's the day. I think things are going so well. I'm going to shake things up and I'm going to screw up my life. Let's turn this thing around. You know what? We have had a good marriage for long enough. It's time to have a season of some bad. You know what I mean? Let's see if we can rip this thing up a little bit. Or you know what? My kids are doing so good. Let me see if I can just, you know, knock some instability into their life and just see if it can rattle their cage a little bit. Or you know what? My body is nice and healthy. Let's see if I can just like tear it up and gain like 30 pounds, right? And maybe, you know, maybe even catch some diabetes. Let's see what we can do here, right? Nobody does that, right? That's absurd. Nobody ever does that. Nobody plans to screw up their life. Here's the thing, though. Sometimes, though, we don't plan not to, right? That's how sometimes life can go awry and things can get crazy and we can enter seasons of life where we have problems. It's because sometimes it's not that we didn't plan to mess up our life, it's that we just didn't plan not to. You know, no one wakes up and says, you know what I'm missing from my life? I'm missing an addiction. That's what I'm missing in my life. You know what? I think I ought to pick up an addiction. I think I'm going to take up smoking. That way I can develop lung cancer and maybe die early before my grandkids even really know my name. You know, that would be a good idea. Or nobody takes up tobacco and says, you know what? I'm going to take up tobacco. That way I can get like gum disease and lose my teeth and they've got to like saw off half my mouth. You know what I mean? Once it's become all black and tar ridden and stuff. Or maybe I'll pick up alcohol and I'll get so, you know, obsessed with it. It'll become this big need in my life, this thing that I always turn to whenever I'm stressed out or when things are crazy. And you know what? Maybe that's what I'll do. Or no one ever says, you know what? I'm going to go out with my friends and, you know, maybe we'll bet on a horse or we'll play some cards or we'll go to the casino and I'll take my life savings and I'll take this, you know, this bonus money that we were depending on and I'll just, you know, I'll maybe just throw it away and just see what happens. Nobody does that. Nobody does. Nobody plans life that way. But yet we all know what happens, right? We know many people who are addicted. We know too many people who are mastered by things in their life and come into seasons where just it's chaotic and there are things going wrong and there's so many things that are just in turmoil right now and nobody plans for those things to happen. The problem is just that we don't plan not to. You know, Paul talked a little bit about this to the Corinthians. In 1 Corinthians 6:12, he says this. He says, so you say, I'm allowed to do anything, but not everything is good for you. And even though I am allowed to do anything, I must not become a slave to anything. You know, something that changed in the world whenever Jesus came was that everything before in the Old Testament was based off a rule system, right? It was based off laws. It was based off a bunch of do's and do nots. And then Jesus came and he talked about it's about a relationship. It's about grace. It's about love. It's about mercy. It's about forgiveness. And so a lot of people went, oh, okay, so the laws, it's not a law-based system anymore. We're not doing a star system anymore. So I have the freedom to do whatever I want is what you're saying. It's not about following the rules. It's not about yeses and nos. Now it's about a relationship. So I'm really free to do anything I want. And Paul says, well, you know, yes and no. You're kind of accurate. Yes, you have the freedom to do anything. You know, it's your body, it's your mind, it's your heart, it's your family, it's your time, it's your money. But here's the thing, not everything is wise to do. And although you have this freedom, and although it's not about laws and yeses and nos and keeping rules anymore, here's the thing though, some things you shouldn't do. Because here's the big thing, you do not want to become a slave to anything. That word mastered in that verse, in the Greek it means to be controlled by or enslaved, brought under the power of something. There are times in my life where I take things that aren't even bad. They're not bad things. They're not things that everyone has to avoid. But there are times and periods where I let those things become masters of my life. You know what I'm talking about, right? There are times where you're like, you know, you're looking at that ice cream in the freezer, and you're like, I know I shouldn't. I shouldn't eat that thing. I shouldn't eat that tub of ice cream. Oh, I'm just gonna take a little bit. Oh, it's so good. Oh, it's so good. Cinnamon roll. I had cinnamon roll ice cream last night. It was very, very good. Oh, it's cinnamon roll. Oh man. Oh, just one more. Just one. Half the gallon is gone. Oh no, I shouldn't. Oh, it's gone. You know what happened? You were mastered by it. It took control of you, and you just went all in, man, and you just ate it all. You devoured it all. Some of us, man, we get on the computer, we get on Amazon, right? Get on Amazon.com, and we're like, oh, you know, I shouldn't, but it's Amazon Day, you know? It's Black Friday. I shouldn't, but oh, just one thing, just one little $3 thing. I mean, look at it. It's like so cheap. There's only so many left. It's going to go. I'll click it. Oh, well, there's something else that would go. I'll click that. Oh, there's something else. $200 later, right? Here it comes on Amazon. And you're like, and I signed up for Prime, but for 2-day shipping, for free 2-day shipping. I was saving money. It was on sale, and now you're in debt. What happened? You were mastered by it. You let that materialism, that shopping addiction that you have, take control, and it mastered you, right? Or you can be on your phone, your iPad or your computer, and you're scrolling through stuff, and you're like, oh, I shouldn't look. Oh, I came across something I shouldn't look. Oh, but that body. Oh, but Dr. Gray. Oh, you are 50 shades sexy. Oh, I shouldn't look, but I'm going to look, and I'm not going to look, and I'm going to see if anybody's behind me on the couch, and then I'm going to look again. Oh, well, I already looked once. It won't hurt to look 4 more times. You know what I mean? Now I'm going to hit save, right? And you know what happened? Oh, that lust, it took over, right? And you were mastered by it. You let it control you, and that's how it starts. It all starts with that little look, that little temptation. It's a drink, a puff, a touch, a look, a swipe, and suddenly you wake up one day and you understand and you realize, oh no, I've been mastered by something. I have an addiction. I've allowed myself to come under the control of something, and now I can't stop myself, right? Let me ask you a question. Are you mastered by anything? Is there anything in your life right now? It might not even be a bad thing that right now is mastering you, that you've allowed to take control, you've allowed to take so much room in your life that you have brought yourself under the power of it. I'll tell you what I've realized that I'm mastered by, as I just talked about a little bit ago. So I'll share, and then we'll talk about all of your stuff, okay? So I figured out I am mastered by caffeine, okay? You see my little coffee cup over here, all right, that I recently got. I mean, I am mastered by caffeine. And here was the epiphany for me. I was listening to this podcast. I'm a big, like, health podcast nut. And I was listening to this podcast, and this guy poses the question, why in the world do we need so much caffeine in the morning after we just did this activity that was supposed to renew us and give us rest, aka sleep, right? Why in the world would we need so much of a drug to wake up when we just did something that was supposed to wake us up? And he said, if that's you, then what the problem is that you're not getting enough sleep. And I went, oh my goodness, this is me, right? And so I did, I look, and I'm gonna be honest with you, okay? I'll be the first to admit my problem. In the morning, I would drink about 30 ounces of coffee in the morning. That was a regular day for me, okay? Because my office is at home, and so fill up the thing, and then about 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, it was on to the next binge, okay? Of nice, good black coffee, all right? And so I went, oh my goodness, so I had to look, and I looked at my sleep patterns, and I thought, what in the world is going on with my sleep patterns? And I looked at when I was working and when I was looking at my emails and stuff, and so I redesign my whole pattern. I have an alarm now that tells me when to stop working, when to turn it all off, when to put the phone down. I have an alarm that goes off that tells me when to go to bed now. And I've totally changed it. Now I'm limiting myself to 16 ounces. So this is cup number 2, okay? And technically the sweat is making it pour out, so I probably need to add I'll leave it alone, okay? But that's mine, you know what I mean? And here's the thing, I'm getting it in check because I should not be mastered or dependent on anything. Now let's talk about some of yours. Yours are way worse than mine, okay? But let's talk about yours. Yours could be social media, okay? Yours could be social media. Let me tell you something. If you're the person who has to sit with their phone at the kitchen table while you eat dinner, okay? If you're the person who watches TV with your phone or your iPad and you can't look at just one screen, you've got to look at two, and it's like you treat this like it's some kind of bomb that's going to go off where you're like, oh, there might be another cat video. There might be another cat video. There might be another cat video. You know what I mean? And like if the battery starts dying at 8 o'clock and you're like, quick, where's the charger? You know what I mean? And you're like, get a charger. I don't want to miss anything. That you have a problem, okay? Like you need to get yourself checked out because it's not that important, all right? But if you're always continuing like swipe, that might be you. You might be addicted to social media. Or maybe you're addicted to like your appearance or yourself. And all the time you're like, selfie. See why I only need one cup of coffee in the morning? All right? If that's you, then you're addicted to that. Then you've been mastered by that. You're controlled by that. You've brought yourself under the power of that. Or maybe it could be drugs. Now, some of us go, you mean like the hard drugs, like cocaine, right? Or something, or weed, that's not me. No, I'm not talking about that. It could be a hard drug, but it could also be like a prescription drug, all right? This is a more common thing than you realize in America. This is some of the most misused drug there is just prescription drugs, where somebody has a surgery. And they're given this painkiller, they're given something, and they take it, and they're like, ooh, that relaxes me. Wow, that feels good, you know what I mean? I'm going to use that. Or when we take drugs when we're stressed out, you know what I mean? Or when we just reach this point of anxiety and we can't take it anymore, and we misuse prescription drugs and we need that in order to cope, that means that that has become an addiction. Or it could be alcohol. Now, some of you, whenever I mention alcohol, you might go, well, that's not me. Check that off the list because I'm not an alcoholic. I do drink, but you know what? I don't drink to the point at which I am drunk, so that's not me. But here's the thing. I want you to think about this for a while, and let's just be honest, okay? You may not be an alcoholic in terms of you get drunk, okay? And you may not, you know, if you went to AA, they might say, you're fine, go away. But you could still be mastered by alcohol. It could still be an addiction in your life. It could be something that you've brought yourself under the power on. Let me explain, okay? I see this as like a quote I see. If you've ever had a long day and you've come home and you've said, oh, mommy just needs a glass of wine, then you may have been mastered by alcohol, okay? If you get wound up and your thing that you need, that you say you need, again, the word I need a glass of wine. I need a beer. I need to sit in the tub and just relax and drink. And again, not to the point to which you're going to get drunk, but you say you need that in order to chill. Well, you just admitted to yourself that how much you need that in order to chill, in order to find balance in your life. You've been mastered by it. That's the truth. Or you know what? Maybe it could be pornography. Maybe it could be a lustful addiction, which probably a lot of people in this room, again, not just men, it's a common thing now with women too. Maybe pornography or lust has been the thing where you know what? You can't help yourself. You've done it for so long, and it's been something you're so used to. You even have a pattern of hiding it and keeping it from people, and it's something you do in private and keep in the closet, but pornography or lust has mastered your life. It could be gambling. It could be computer games. It could be video games. If you are not 12 years old and you are staying up for like 18 hours straight to play the German kids over, you know, because like they get out of school at like 3 a.m. our time. I know this because I did this in college. Darren and I would always be excited to be up at 3 a.m. because the Germans were getting out of school and we'd get on our Xbox and go, Fafig Newton, Germans, you know what I mean? Start playing them, right? If that's you, you are addicted. You have a problem. You've allowed yourself to be mastered by that, all right? Or it could be tanning. No joke, my senior pastor who I worked for in Nebraska before I came here, he was so concerned about his appearance under the lights that he had a tanning bed in his basement, and he would tan every Saturday night, so at Sunday mornings he would look good in his suit and his tie and under the lights. He looked like a briefcase, okay? he looked like a briefcase. Who knows what it could be, all right? It could be anything. Again, it doesn't have to be a bad thing. But I want you to be honest. What is it that you might be mastered by? And again, in your YouVersion app, under the sermon notes, this question is there. I encourage you to go write it down right now. Go write down, take a note underneath that question, and write down what might be mastering you. We need to recognize this. Because although it sounds silly, and although it seems like not that big a deal, it's actually a symptom of a very, very real problem. I did some research, and I was looking at a lot of what counselors say about addictions, and a lot of counselors and psychologists believe that an addiction is really just a symptom of a real problem of idolatry. And what it is when we think about worshiping idols, we have this idea in our head about what worshiping an idol looks like. But really what idolatry is today in our context and in our setting is it's taking something that, again, is maybe neutral, not a bad thing, but we're placing it and replacing it where God should be. So we're taking God off his throne and off his spot where he should be, and we're placing something else there, and we're saying, this is the thing. This is the thing that brings me happiness. This is the thing that brings me joy. This is the thing that balances mommy out. This is the thing that makes me feel better. This is the thing I look forward to. This is the thing I'll throw my money at. This is the thing I'll give my time to. This is what I love now, and this is what I want my life to be about. And there's a very, very good verse that you may not have even read or thought about in this context in Isaiah that paints this picture very, very perfectly. Isaiah 44, verse 14. It's this man, he's a carpenter, and he uses wood in the right context, but watch what happens. It says he cuts down cedars, he selects the cypress and the oak, he plants the pine in the forest to be nourished by the rain, and then he uses part of the wood to make a fire. With it, he warms himself and bakes his bread. Then, yes, it's true, he takes the rest of it and makes himself a god to worship. He makes an idol and bows down in front of it. So what happened with this carpenter, this man, what happened there? What he did is he took this thing that God put on this earth to take care of us. He used it to warm his body, to cook food, to provide security and safety for his life. But then he got so in love with the security, with the feeling, with the warmth. It became something he depended on. And then he got to the point where he began to worship it. And he began to look at the wood and the things that it was providing. Go, oh, thank you, wood. You are the best. I need you. I will dedicate my life to you. I will do anything for you. And became an idol in his life. He became addicted. You and I, we can do that with anything. We can take anything. We can take our families. We can take our spouse. We can take our jobs. We can take the things we've been blessed with. We can take hobbies and activities and other things that this world has to offer, and the world has a lot to offer. And we can knock God off of his kingdom and his throne, and we can place this as the pedestal in our life and say, you're the thing now. You're what's most important. I want my identity to be wrapped in you. I want to spend my time with you. And oh, if you're hurt or injured, I'm going to run to you. I'm going to plug you in. I'm going to charge you. I'm going to take care of you. I'm going to find a way to get you back because you are the God of my life. Man, how do we get away from that? What do we do? Many of us, I think we get to the point where we just go, you know what, I guess this is how life is gonna be, and we get this idea in our head that everybody has a problem and this is just gonna be mine. But here's the thing, if you haven't reached that point yet, and some of you have stories where you know exactly what I'm talking about, you have. The point I'm talking about, the point at which these things aren't, they come out of the closet and they come out of the dark and they begin to wreak havoc in your lives. And they tear up your marriage, and they tear up your kids, and they tear up your career, and they tear up your health, and they tear up your life. If we're not careful, these things that are mastering us and controlling us, these things that we're addicted to, they can be very, very, very destructive. So we've got to take care of them. So again, like I did last week, I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to give you some bad advice. And I hope you hear the absurdity in this advice, and I hope you do the exact opposite. So, as I said last week, if you ever wake up one day and you're tired of being blessed, and God's presence is too real, and you've got a great marriage, and you're close with your kids, and your career's going great, and you just feel the presence of God in your life, and the Spirit is speaking to you, and you have a life where you wake up with purpose, passion, and meaning, and you decide, you know what, I am just ready to screw all this up. Let's try something different. Let's break the pattern. Then you know what, I'm going to give you some easy, easy steps on how to become addicted and stay addicted. So you ready for this? Here's some bad advice on how to be an addict. The first thing I want you to do is this. Don't ever, ever, ever admit that you have a problem, okay? That's step number one. Don't ever admit that you have a problem. Jeremiah 3:13 says, only acknowledge your guilt. Admit that you rebelled against the Lord your God and committed adultery against him by worshiping idols. Jeremiah says that we should acknowledge our guilt. That we should acknowledge that this is a problem and this is an addiction and I need to do something about it. Okay, so I'm going to tell you right now, don't do that, okay? You do not have a problem. You are not an addict. You don't ever need to admit you have a problem. You need to say to yourself and say to the people who may challenge you about this that you are still in control. You are in control. You're not an addict. You can shut this off whenever you need to shut this off. I mean, yes, let's, you know, face the facts that we've tried 8 times to shut it off and been unsuccessful and always come back to it, but that isn't the point. I came back to it because I chose to come back to it, and that's why I still smoke or drink or look or swipe or touch or plug in, right? That's why I am in control of my life, and I can say no at any time, but I don't have a problem. Don't ever, ever admit that you have a problem to anybody. And if anybody says that you have a problem or tries to convince you you have a problem, here's the thing you need to do. You need to shut those people out, okay? Just shut those people out. Your kids, your wife, your pastor, your friends, okay, they don't know what they're talking about. Okay, the judge, he doesn't know what he's talking about, all right? You don't have a problem, so you just need to shut those people out, okay? You just tell them, look, if you talk about it to me one more time, I will leave you, I will hate you, I will blame you, I'll keep the grandbabies from you. I mean, you just tell them that, you know what, I don't have a problem, and you don't try to convince me otherwise, okay? And here's the thing, guys, the bottom line is this. It's like Bon Jovi says, it's your life, right? It's my life, it's now or never, I ain't gonna live forever, right? Just forget them, it's your life and you do what you want because you don't have to justify yourself to anybody else, okay? Just do that, go in the car and just fist pump to Bon Jovi, okay? Just shut everybody out because you don't have a problem and you should not ever, 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 ever admit that you have a problem. And look, here's the thing, this problem, there are many solutions to fix this problem, okay? All right? I mean, you don't have to stop smoking or chewing tobacco, okay? Here's the bottom line. They've got stuff for that now, okay? Cancer, they've got treatments for that. There's other things we can do, okay? If you have an eating problem or something and you're gaining weight and you're getting unhealthy, doesn't mean you need to get healthy or stop eating. They have like insulin and stuff now, right? I mean, we can just stick a needle in our stomach every single day for the rest of our lives and we can treat it that way. It doesn't mean that we have a problem and we have to go this route. There are a lot of other routes over here, okay? Hey, if we get in debt, okay, if we're shopping addiction or something else and we get in trouble and we get in debt and collectors come after us, here's the thing, we'll just get another credit card, okay? That's all we have to do. We can get another credit card and another credit card and another credit card, and it's okay. Eventually, we're going to die before the creditors come after us, okay? It's totally fine. Just, you know, continue, you know, to just add it all up, but don't ever, ever, ever admit that you have a problem. And then the third thing is this. Gratify your desires, okay? That's what I really, really, really want you to do, is gratify your desires. Galatians 5, 16 through 17 says this, so I say, walk by the Spirit and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other so that you are not to do whatever you want. For those of you that are Jesus followers, there's a war going on inside of you, right? There's this tug of war. And when you meet Jesus, and when they're even, you know, say that you believe in Jesus or start a relationship with Jesus, there's going to be this tug of war inside of you. And there's going to be what the Spirit wants, and there's going to be what your own selfish desires want. And there's going to be this tug of war inside. And the Spirit, He's always going to direct us to walk in the direction of God and be more like Jesus and all these different things. But here's the thing, we got to shut that down, okay? We've got to shut that down. We've got to not have this conflict anymore. We've got to choose the side that lets us do what we want to do. And so we've got to push that Spirit completely out of the way. I mean, what he would tell us to do, Paul, he would tell us to tell our flesh to shut up and push our flesh away. But we want to give in to our fleshy desires, okay? We want to give in to those urges and to do that. So here's the thing. I want you to begin to say yes to yourself and no to God, okay? That's what I want you to do. If you see it, man, if you see it and you want it, you eat it, you grab it, you buy it, you tickle it, you share it, like whatever you want to do, okay? It's yours, man. Just give into it and do whatever you need. Act like a spoiled two-year-old, okay? I have a three-year-old, and she likes to have meltdowns in stores sometime, you know what I mean? Especially like when we go to the grocery store. I swear grocery stores, they plan for this. They put the balloons in reach of the children, okay? Like, who's the balloon? Why is the balloon grabbable from down here? I wonder why, okay? And my three-year-old, every single time, ooh, daddy, I want one of these, right? And then I never buy it. I'll let her hold it, but then like I'm the guy who like shoves it in like somewhere you're not supposed to be. Like, I'll shut it in the freezer section. Like, I'll grab a pizza and then take the balloon and shove it in the freezer. So if you ever find a balloon in the freezer case at Target, that was me, okay? I've left my mark, all right? But like my three-year-old loves to throw a fit sometimes if she's tired, hasn't had a nap, and she doesn't get what she wants. And so she'll just, you know, I want. You just be like that. Be like that in your marriage. Be like that to your kids. Show them that. That way they can be more like that. It's in you. You did it when you were 3 years old. You can do it when you're 90, okay? It's okay, all right? So just act like a three-year-old and just say, gimme, 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 gimme. And whatever gratifies the flesh, you do it. And then the third thing I want you to do is this. Keep your addiction a secret. Keep it a secret, okay? Proverbs 28:13 says, whoever conceals their sin does not prosper, but the one who confesses and renounces them finds mercy. Here's the thing. Sin grows best in the dark, so keep it there, okay? Sin grows best in the dark, so we want to keep it there. And here's the reason why. It's no one else's business anyway, okay? It's no one else's business. It's your life, and you deserve to be happy, okay? Those vows you took to your spouse, forget those. Those were just words, okay? That wasn't a promise. Those were words. Nothing legally binding, okay? We can get out of that, okay? Our kids, they'll understand one day, okay? I deserve to be happy. I deserve what I want. And some people are going to get in the way of that. So we want to keep all of our addictions and all of our fleshy desires in the dark, in secret. And so we want to keep those from people. And you know, we shouldn't try to seek out other people with this, okay? We don't want to try to talk to a counselor about it. We definitely don't want to talk to our pastor about it. So whenever your spouse goes, I really think you need to talk to pastor, you say, no, forget about that, okay? I don't want to talk to that guy, all right? He drinks way too much coffee. And just ignore that, okay? And don't talk to that. And here's the other thing, too. Last week, we talked about how to drift away from God. We talked about neglecting time with God. This fits into that category, too. I would avoid church at all costs, okay? Because there's something about being in this place and hearing the word of God. You might come to church and you might feel convicted or guilty about something you've been doing in the dark. And that might, you know, might bring you out of the dark and make you want to confess or admit. Or maybe not to God or in service, but it just might be being around Christian people, because for the most part in your life, nobody really asks you how you're doing, or at least sincerely mean it, like, how are you doing? They just want to know, like, hey, that's their way of saying hi. But there's something about being around Christians or other people that honestly really care and love you that might make you want to, you know, admit or confess, you know what I mean, that something is going on. Like, I don't know about you, but like when Martha, you know, meets you at that door, and I don't know if any of you have had the Martha pat, you know how she pats your arm, you know what I mean? And she comes up with you and goes, hi, how are you doing? I've been praying for you. How's it going, right? Oh, there's just something like you just want to confess everything, you know what I mean? Like, you want to just, you know, you want to take that fake smile off, and you want to be like, Martha, you know what I mean? And just share. See, you need to stay away from this place, man. You need to not go to comparison trap. You need to not get in a discipleship group. You know, you need to just stay away from all that. Just keep it down deep, away from people, okay? Now, that's some really bad advice, right? Terrible advice. Really, 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 really bad advice. Great way to keep an addiction. But that's not what we want to see in our life. You know, Paul said something interesting. Paul said in Romans 7:18, he said, "And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I want to do what is wrong. I don't want to do what's wrong, but I do it anyway. But if I do what I don't want to do, I am not really the one doing wrong. It is sin living in me that does it." Paul had this conundrum, and we don't know what Paul was going through. Some people think it was a disease. Some people think it was lust. Some people aren't sure. But Paul had this conundrum that I think many of you might find yourself in, that you know you are being mastered by something. You know that you are addicted. And you've made yourself a slave to something. And it's not that you enjoy doing it. You know it's a problem. I'm preaching to the choir. You know it's a problem. You know you're putting your family in debt. You know you're headed down a bad road where somebody's going to find out and you're going to lose your job, you're going to lose your spouse, you're going to hurt your kids. You know where this is headed. And the thing is that you're not a bad person. You're not. You're not a bad dude. The thing is that inside of you, you want to do what is right, but you can't. Because it started when you were young, or it started when you were lonely, or it started when you sat at home and you weren't being productive. And all of a sudden, this started as something that you had control of, but then you became mastered by it, and you became addicted by it. And you want to do what is right, but you can't. You want to say no, but you don't. And you have this conflict inside of you that you're trying to break, that you're trying to get away from. It's that feeling of being stuck. But here's the thing that I want you to know. You didn't plan to screw up your life. The problem is you just didn't plan not to. But here's the thing. Jesus came to create a new plan to get you out of this mess, to get you away from this addiction, to free you from this master in your life. Galatians 5:1 says this. It says, "So Christ has truly set us free. Now make sure that you stay free and don't get tied up again in the slavery to this law." James 4:7, he says, the brother of Jesus, he says this. He says, "Submit yourselves then to God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you." Jesus came to set us free, to give us this freedom where we can have this relationship and not be, you know, torn by all of this guilt. And James says that all we need to do is we need to submit ourselves to God. Well, here's what we need to do. We need to, instead of having this idol here, this thing that we're addicted to, this thing be what wraps up so much of our life, we need to take it off and we need to place God back where he belongs. Back at the center of our lives. Bring him back, because here's the thing, God is the only thing that will ever truly fill that hole that you're feeling in your life. God is the only thing that is sustainable, that will be the master that truly blesses you and takes care of you and provides the things for you that you need. And so we've got to take off that idol and we've got to put God back in its place. And here's the thing, how do we do that? Well, honestly, what we do is we do the exact opposite of what I just told you to do. Here's the thing, you got to admit that you have a problem. You've got to admit right now, you have used so many rationalizations in your head of why this is okay to do. And you know your spouse hates that you do it. It's something that you fight about constantly. You know that your kids see it. And quite honestly, you're already afraid that your kids are going to pick up the same nasty habit that you've picked up. You do it partially because your parents did something similar in this regard. Here's the thing. We've got to admit we have a problem. We've got to admit we have a problem, and we've got to seek help. Right now and today, you need to write in your notes app what it is. And then here's the thing. Once you leave here today, or maybe even before you leave here today, you need to tell somebody else about it. You need to name it and claim it. Because when we are at our weakest and admit that we are at our weakest is when God is at his strongest. And God is able to do the most work. But we've got to take it out from the dark and bring it to the night light. We've got to name it, and we've got to claim it, and we've got to make it visible. And we've got to seek help from other people. There might be people already who know this is a problem and are trying to help you, and you're shutting them out. Don't shut them out any longer. You need to bring it to the light, and you need to claim it and know it and name it that this is an addiction in your life. Now, I'm going to give you some good advice today. Here's the thing I would encourage you not to do. Don't make that person your spouse, okay? Here's why. The worst thing you could do is have your spouse be your accountability partner. It ain't good for your marriage. It's not good for you. And it's too emotional, okay? You need to pick somebody else. There's a lot of people in this room. There's a lot of, you know, ordained or licensed pastors in this room. There are people who can help you. There are counselors we could recommend to you. You need to tell somebody, but that person doesn't need to be your spouse. You need an accountability partner that can actually keep you accountable. And it needs to not be emotional driven, and it needs to be something that doesn't go home with you at the dinner table or anywhere else. That's what you need. The second thing that we need to do is we need to not gratify our fleshy desires. We need to say no to that. We need to begin to say no and to be shut that out and to walk in the Spirit. How do we do that? Well, kind of the opposite of what we talked about last week. We need to stop neglecting God. We need to invite the Spirit in. We need to be in the Word of God. I was so encouraged this week because this new YouVersion app that we're a part of, you can friend each other. And many of you are friends with the Anchored Hope YouVersion page. And there were like 16 of us on there so far that I know of. And many of you guys are just, you're sharing scripture verses with one another. And you're finishing up reading plans and you're in the Word of God. And then I saw many people yesterday, they finished one up and they started a new reading plan and they're being in the Word. That's terrific. That's awesome. That's how we stay in step with the Spirit and listen to His voice and are able to shut out the fleshy desires. When those fleshy desires pop up and tell us, you need to do this, you need this to calm down, you need this to find balance in your life, you deserve this, go ahead, do it, click the button, swipe it, click it, do it. We need to be able to say no to those things, and only God makes us strong enough to be able to do that. And then the third thing we need to do is we need to bring it out of the light. We cannot keep it a secret anymore. We need to bring it out, and we need to seek help for it. And we need to tell somebody. What we need to do is put God back where he belongs. Because these addictions, and that's what they are, addictions, they have become idols in our life. They have become substitutes for God. And it's something that we don't want to pass on to our kids. It's something that we don't want to destroy our marriage. It's something we don't want to hurt our careers. We've got to get these things out of the way and get this thing that used to be neutral and has now become a master in our life. We've got to make it our slave now and give it to God. If you're an addict, it is time to come clean. Pastor Josh is going to come up and he's going to sing a song this morning. And I love the words. As I was studying last night and going over this and I was looking at the lyrics, I asked Pastor Josh if we could sing this song last. Because really what the call to worship is to put God back in the center of our lives. To bring God back to where he should be. And it's really a call, an anthem to say, here God, I'm knocking this off the pedestal and I want you to come back and to have this throne. I want you to be at the center of my life. And so this morning I want to give you a chance to respond. I want you guys to stand. And I'm going to pray, and we're going to sing this song. And maybe this morning, all you need to do is sing this song. Let these words just kind of go down deep. Let them marinate there and sing them like you mean it. And just maybe just you need to sing this song as a message to God. God, this is what I want you to do. I want you to have the center of my life back. I want you to take this place, take your throne. I need to not be a slave to this. I want you to be the only thing that masters my life. But also, too, I'm going to make myself available down here to pray with you. Because maybe this morning, here's what the devil is telling you right now. He's telling you, don't tell anybody. It's cool. You've got control over this. You don't need any help. It's fine. Let's deal with this when you get home. But here's the thing, you're going to go home, you're going to take a nap, you're going to go back to your schedule, and tomorrow you're going to be the same person you were as you are today. You need to walk out of here differently, and one of the only ways you're going to do that is by naming it and claiming it and getting it out in the light. And maybe what you need to do today is come down and pray with me right now and say, Pastor, I am addicted to this. And I've hid it and I've kept it in the dark, but no longer. And I will pray with you, and together we will call on the Spirit, and we will repent, and we will ask for forgiveness, and we will change the other direction, and we will walk out of here with a fresh start, being reborn and renewed by the Spirit of God. That is what Christ came to offer you this morning. That freedom is available to you right now. And you walked in here, maybe righteous, maybe a sinner, but everybody can walk out of here different today. Everybody can walk out here, not perfect, but closer to God, yes. Not perfect, but closer to God. You will still struggle, you will still fight, but at least you will be fighting the good fight. You'll be fighting for your marriage, you'll be fighting for your kids, you'll be fighting for your life, and you'll be fighting for future generations, and you'll be fighting for your purpose on this earth. That's available to you right now. So I'm going to be available to pray, and Pastor Josh is going to lead us together in this song as we close. Let me pray for you real quick. God, this morning, I thank you so much for this message. I thank you so much for your words. I thank you so much for sending your son, Jesus Christ, to give us a second chance. And God, some of us here this morning, we're addicted. It might be a substance. It might be an activity. It might just be a bad habit. It could be all kinds of different things, Lord. You've spoken to us this morning, and you know exactly what it is. And any of it can become an idol. Any of it can become a problem. So God, this morning, we're asking for your forgiveness. And we're asking that you would come back. We're giving you your spot back. Come back to the center of our lives. Come back and take the place that you rightfully deserve and that you have bought through your son, Jesus Christ.